Chapter 13, End Anxiety. Anxiety is what happens when your habit of worrying spirals out of control. As a lifelong anxiety sufferer, I know all too well the grip it can hold on you and how scary it can feel. I also know how to beat it. Using the 5-second rule in combination with a strategy called reframing is the answer. The key to beating anxiety is understanding it. If you can catch it right as it kicks in and reframe it, you'll stabilize your thoughts before your mind escalates it into a full-blown panic. And over time, as you use the 5-second rule over and over, your anxiety will weaken and become what it started out as, simple worries. And as you just learned, the habit of worry is easy to break. I think I was born an anxious child. Because as a kid, my parents said I had a nervous stomach and I worried about everything. I was that kid at camp who was so homesick she had to go home early. As a college student, my face would turn red as a tomato when I got called on in class. I relied on liquid courage to talk to guys at parties because without alcohol, I'd get stress hives on my neck. The panic attack started in my early 20s when I began law school. A panic attack feels like you're about to have a heart attack, and it can happen for 2 reasons. One, because you have something scary that you've got to do, like give a speech or face an ex or get on an airplane. Or two, for absolutely no reason at all. Now, if you've ever had a panic attack, here's the best way to describe them. It's when your mind and body have a near-miss experience that's totally out of context. Allow me to explain using a really simple analogy. Let's distinguish between normal panic and actual panic attacks. You see, there's going to be tons of time in your life where you panic and it will be completely normal. Let's say you and I are driving a car and we're chatting on the highway and you're about to change lanes. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a car races by, cuts us off, swerves, you get out of the way, oh my God, but they nearly miss us. Woo! When a near miss happens on the highway, what do you feel? You feel a surge of adrenaline race through your body. Your heart races, your breath speeds up, your cortisol surges. Your body goes into this state of like hyper alertness so that you can take control of the car, and you might even get a little sweaty. Now, as soon as your body freaks out, what happens is your mind has to find a reason as to why your body is so agitated. In this example that I just gave you on the highway, your brain realizes, oh my gosh, they almost got into a car crash. That's why your heart is racing. No wonder. And when your mind has an explanation for why your body just freaked out, your mind isn't going to make the anxiety worse. Your mind will allow your body to calm down because your mind knows that the danger has passed. You see, the car almost hit you. It didn't hit you. The car is now gone. There's no reason for you to stay freaked out. Your life can now go back to normal. Now, you're going to be a little bit more cautious the next time you're about to change the lane, but you're not going to continue to be hyperventilating. The danger has passed. Now, when you have a panic attack, on the other hand, that same near-miss experience that we just felt on the highway, it happens to you, but without any warning, and for no reason at all. You could be standing in your kitchen. You're going to pour yourself a cup of coffee. You're about to do your 30 before 7:30 planning session. It's just like any other morning. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, oh my gosh, you have the surge of adrenaline and your heart starts to race. And suddenly, like your palms are sweaty and you start to breathe really heavy and you don't know why. And unfortunately, there's no car that just about hit you. You're just standing in your kitchen. Your heart races, your breath speeds up, your cortisol surges, your body goes into this state of like hyper awareness. And see, now, what do you know? When your body goes into a state of agitation, what does your mind do? Your mind starts searching for a reason why. If your mind can't figure out why you just had a freak out, you know what it's going to do? It's going to think you're in actual danger. Your mind is going to go completely into protection mode on you. It's going to make that fear worse, and it's going to make you think that danger is imminent because your brain is basically like, holy cow, her heart is racing, her palms are, what the hell is going on? Well, there must be something going on. Last time this happened, we were on the highway and it was a car, and that made sense, but this made no sense. You know, this is why, by the way, as your heart's racing and your mind is racing for an explanation so it can make sense of what's happening to your body, this is why your mind starts to say things when you're having a panic attack, like maybe I'm having a heart attack, maybe I don't want to get married, maybe it's my job, maybe I'm going to get fired, maybe I'm dying. If your mind can't find a suitable explanation, your brain is going to make your anxiety worse so that you physically move. It wants you to leave the room. You know, if you've ever seen anybody that you care about have a panic attack, stop and think about what they were like. They started breathing really heavy. Their heart starts fluttering. They start to freak out. They dart around. They have scattered thoughts. They don't know how to calm themselves down. They don't know why they feel so freaked out. They have a deer in the headlights look. Then suddenly they'll say, I just have to get out of here. I just have to get out of here. That's their brain. Their brain can't explain what's happening, so their brain wants to protect them. It's actually making it worse so that they will move out of the room. It's a vicious cycle, and it's something I was trapped in for years. Now, for a long time, I understood neither the difference between normal panic and actual panic attacks, nor did I understand the role that my mind was playing in escalating the anxiety. I went to therapists. I tried all kinds of cognitive techniques to try to stop myself from panicking. It got so bad, the panic attacks, that I actually became afraid of having panic attacks. And that fear, of course, just made me have more panic attacks. Finally, what happened for me is I went and got professional help. I got myself on Zoloft with the help of a psychiatrist, and it was a miracle for me, truly. It literally was like taking, you know, the volume on a stereo and turning it to zero. I felt like myself again. And here's the deal. I took it for 2 decades. And as far as I'm concerned, zero stigma on mental health. I look at mental health issues like diabetes. When you have diabetes, your body cannot process insulin or doesn't make enough of it. When you have mental health issues, you also have a chemical imbalance. Therapy plus drugs can be absolutely amazing, and you should explore it. So here's the thing, though. I was the kind of person where I just thought, oh, I'll just take Zoloft for the rest of my life. And then what happened is we had kids, and all 3 of our kids started to struggle with their own form of anxieties. And it was beyond mere worrying. The anxiety was impacting their lives. They stopped doing sleepovers. They would sleep on the floor of our bedroom. They were worried about everything. Oakley named his panic Oliver. Anytime he started getting a panic attack, Oliver's here. And our daughter Sawyer, she would call it her what if loop. She would get stuck in this. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? She said, you know, it's like there's this what if loop, Mom. Once I start thinking about all the what ifs, I get stuck thinking about what all the what ifs. And if I can't get out of it because there are always what ifs. Sounds like a Shel Silverstein poem, doesn't it? You know, I knew how scary it was to suffer from it, and it was heartbreaking to see our kids struggling and afraid. It was really eye-opening and frustrating trying to help them deal with their anxiety because nothing worked. We would go to specialists after specialists after specialists. We tried all kinds of techniques and games. We set up prizes for them to face their fears. And honestly, it just seemed to keep getting worse. So I came off Zoloft to face my own anxiety head on, because I wanted to better understand it and figure out how to beat it so I could help our kids figure out how to beat theirs. Here's what I learned. First of all, telling somebody to try to calm down, it does not work. It actually makes it worse. I've spent countless hours with therapists who have told me and the kids, just change the channel, think about something else. That works if you're worried. It works if you're worried. But as a strategy for full-blown anxiety, it doesn't work. See, when you're worried about something, your thoughts have drifted, but your heart isn't racing yet. So your thoughts drift, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, awaken your prefrontal cortex. Your mind is now ready to receive a new thought, insert a new thought. That's how you control worry. That's how you change your attitude. That's how you create a new mindset. Very straightforward. When you're having anxiety, what happens is you are worried and now your body is starting to get agitated. Your heart is racing. Your palms are sweating because of what you're thinking. And when you are in a state of physical agitation, it's impossible to get somebody to calm down. And in fact, it's like asking somebody to go from 60 miles an hour to 0 miles an hour. It's a lot like trying to make a freight train stop by throwing a boulder in front of it. It's going to jump the tracks. There was actually a study in the Journal of Behavior Research and Therapy that showed when you try to make somebody calm down and you tell them, just stop thinking about that thing that's worrying you, guess what happens? They end up getting more upset. When you try to tell yourself to calm down, you make the anxiety worse because you're fighting against it. When you understand how panic works, what it is, the role your brain has in making it worse, you can beat it by working with it. There are two strategies that work really well together. One is the 5-second rule. Use it first because that's going to assert control over your mind. It's going to interrupt the default setting of anxiety, and it's going to cue your prefrontal cortex to pay attention. And then what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to reframe the anxiety as excitement. As excitement. I'm going to say that again because I don't want your brain to escalate what you're feeling. I want your brain to be like, oh, that makes sense. And that'll then allow your body to calm down. Here's how you're going to do it. Excitement and anxiety feel the exact same in your body. Okay? I'm going to explain this to you. So I first used this strategy of reframing anxiety as excitement when I started in public speaking. I get a lot of questions about public speaking and specifically, how do you get over your fears and nerves about public speaking? And my answer always surprises people. My answer is this. I have never gotten over my fears and my nerves. I just use them to my advantage. Now, here's what may surprise you about that answer. I speak for a living, as in a lot. In 2016, I was not only one of the most booked speakers in the world, I was the most booked female speaker in America. 103 keynotes in 1 year. Biggest audience, over 20,000 people. Absolutely amazing. Do I get nervous? Absolutely I do. Every single time. But here's the trick. And this is what I'm going to teach you to do. I don't call it nerves. I call it excitement. And that is a game changer. And the reason why it works with anxiety is because physiologically, anxiety, excitement, exact same thing. Nervousness, excitement, exact same thing. Fear and excitement are the same thing to your body. The only difference between excitement and anxiety is what your mind calls the sensation. It's like the near miss example. Remember when you were on the highway and a car almost hits you and your heart starts to race and you freak out for a second and then the car passes and the danger is gone and you're like, oh, okay, the danger has passed. Whew, deep breath, we're okay. But if that same physical sensation happens in your kitchen, it's exactly the same. There's no danger. The only difference is your mind doesn't have a logical reason to explain it, so your mind makes it worse. We're going to use that same principle with an anxiety. If your brain has a good explanation for why your body is freaking out, it won't make it worse. This is the key to beating anxiety. This is it right here. Understanding that if you can give your mind a reason why you're upset, why your body's freaking out, you can beat it. So the first time I ever gave a legitimate speech, like no joke, the first time I walked onto a stage and gave an actual speech was when I gave that TEDx talk in San Francisco in 2011. I remember standing backstage listening to one person with a PhD after one person with a PhD give their talks. And you know what I was thinking to myself for 7 hours straight? This is the dumbest thing I have ever gotten myself into. I am about to go out there and tell these people that I am a local radio host who dreams of being as big as Rush Limbaugh. I'm nowhere near doing that. I am going to make a complete and utter ass of myself. You know what was happening for me backstage? My palms were sweaty. My heart was racing. I was convinced I was going to be the stupidest person with the dumbest speech, that I was going to look like a total moron after all these people, that I was going to have a bright red face, that I was going to get laughed off that stage. My face was hot. My armpits were dripping like Niagara Falls. You know what my body was doing? It was prepping for action. I was getting ready to do something. And I kept telling myself, oh my God, I'm nervous. Oh my gosh, this is going to be terrible. I labeled all these sensations that I was feeling, the sweaty pits, the clammy palms, the beating heart, as a warning sign that this was going to go horrible. I said I was nervous. You want to know something wild? So it's 6 years later, hundreds of speeches later. Do you know I still feel the exact same thing in my body when I'm backstage? The exact same thing. My palms sweat, my heart races, my face gets hot, my armpits start to drip. Physiologically, I am in a state of arousal. My body is preparing to go out on stage. And here's the difference, though. I just call it excitement. It's the exact same freaking feeling I felt 6 years ago. I just called it nerves. I channel it in a positive direction. If I were to go backstage and say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm nervous, 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 I'll tell you what, I would get more nervous. What your brain calls what your body's doing is the secret. Now, the more speeches that I give, the more comfortable and confident I become about what I'm saying. But even as I've gained confidence in my abilities, I've noticed that the feelings in my body, they don't disappear. That's when it dawned on me that maybe this is just my body's way to get ready to do something cool. And so I started telling myself that I was getting excited instead of calling it nervousness, and everything changed. My body still gets agitated, but I don't freak out ever. Now, look, I never knew that my little trick of relabeling it something else from nervousness to excitement has some serious ass science behind it. It's called anxiety reappraisal. Reframing your anxiety as excitement works. Not just for me. It has worked in study after study after study. Harvard Business School professor Allison Wood Brooks just conducted this massive study where she would tell people before they were about to do something that made them nervous to reframe it and say out loud, I'm excited. I'm excited. I know it sounds really stupid. I actually stand backstage and go, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. And it works. I get really excited and I don't freak out. And what she found is not only does the strategy of going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm excited. Not only does it work to not have you freak out, guess what? You perform better in study after study after study. Kids that would say, I'm excited before walking into a math test, guess what? They did better than the kids who didn't. People that said, I'm excited before they walked into an interview or a negotiation for a raise did better than the people that didn't. People that stood at a track meet and before they ran said, I'm excited, I'm excited. People that did karaoke, I'm excited, did better than the people who don't. The question is why? The reason is simple. Anxiety is a state of arousal. It is so much easier to convince your brain that all those arousal feelings are natural and they're just excitement than trying to calm yourself down. Reframing your nervousness into enthusiasm works, not just in research at Harvard. Susie used this right after she learned the 5-second rule. Here's what she wrote to me. My husband and I are planning to get out of our comfort spot in a big way. He's going to retire soon, and we are looking into moving across the country to the East Coast. Every time I get, quote, that feeling in my stomach, you know the one, fear of change, I remember the 5-second rule and saying, I'm excited. I make a list of stuff I have to do. I check them off one by one. It's taking us a little closer to our dream. Thank you for the inspiration. She's using it to stop that, quote, feeling in her stomach from growing into something that stops her. Now, here's the catch. When you tell yourself, I'm excited, it doesn't lower the feelings in your body. Your heart rate's not going to disappear. Your palms are still going to be a little sweaty. You might feel parched in your throat. Whatever the feelings that you used to call nervousness, they're going to stay there. But what happens is really important. They don't get bigger. They don't escalate. When you say, I'm excited, you stay in control. And your brain stops worrying about it, which gives your body a chance to start to calm itself down. So the next time that you feel yourself getting worried, or you feel nervousness or panic starting to set in while you're making a cup of coffee, or you're experiencing a little bit of stage fright or pregame jitters, or you're worried about a big exam or a job interview, I want you to try this. Use the 5-second rule and this new research to beat it to the punch. As soon as you feel the physical sensations start to tick up, you get that feeling in your stomach, you feel your heart start to rate, you start pacing a little bit. That's a moment. I want you to take control. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're going to seize the moment. Then I want you to start telling yourself, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to play this game. I'm so excited to make this cup of coffee. I'm so excited to be on this plane. I'm so excited to take this test. That's exactly what Greg did when he reframed his feelings in order to beat anxiety. I have reframed this hesitation as an opportunity to get going on my work in those 5 seconds, even though I don't feel like it. I have allowed this not feeling like it to become a full-blown anxiety disorder. And I truly think that this technique has helped me find a way to get unstuck. So thank you for helping me reframe these feelings of never feeling like it from normal rather than neurotic. See, the physical impact of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, which is the first action, and then saying you're excited is critical because it's you exerting yourself. It's awakening your prefrontal cortex, and it allows you to start focusing on the positive explanation. Look, when you first start using this strategy, you might have to repeat it 27 times in 1 hour. The first time our 11-year-old used it to beat his anxiety about sleepovers, he said, I'm excited to sleep over at Quinn's house over and over and over again during a 6-mile drive from our house to Quinn's, bless his little heart, over and over. I'm excited to sleep over at Quinn's house. How you feeling, Oak? My stomach is grumbling, so I must be excited because I'm going to Quinn's house to sleep over. So when we finally get to Quinn's house, we pull into the driveway. I put the car in park and I turn and I say, how you doing? And he looked at me and he said, my heart is still racing and my stomach feels funny, but I'm actually excited to sleep over. That was 6 months ago. His anxiety about sleepovers, gone. Now he's actually excited. And that's the power of this tool. It truly works.